I will give you as a light to the nations.
That my salvation may reach the ends of the earth.
Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Words of Scripture. If we claim to be sinless, we are self-deceived and strangers to the truth. If we confess our sins, God is just and may be trusted to forgive our sins and cleanse us from every kind of wrong.
Spirit of God, search our hearts.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbors. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Amen. Lord, open our lips. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. The Lord has shown forth his glory.
Come, let us.
Lord, and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he shall keep me safe in his shelter. He shall hide me in the secrecy of his dwelling, and set me high upon a rock.
Even now he lifts up my head above my enemies round about me.
Therefore I will offer in his dwelling an oblation with sounds of great gladness. I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Hearken to my voice, O Lord, when I call. Have mercy on me and answer me.
You speak in my heart and say, seek my face. Your face, Lord, will I seek.
Hide not your face from me, nor turn away your servant in displeasure.
You have been my helper, cast me not away. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. There will be no gloom for those who are in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who have lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the house of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the Lord. Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you. Let's stick a pin in that for now. I may have to disagree with St. Paul on this one. The message I want to share with you today may require that we stretch just a bit to tie it back to our readings. But if you bear with me and give me a little grace, I think we'll get through this together. Today, I want to talk to you about the E word. That's right. I want to talk about evangelism. I know. We're Episcopalians. We don't talk about evangelism. We leave that to the Baptists. But I think there's a grain of evangelism in our readings today. In today's gospel, we find Jesus in the region of Galilee. To be specific, we find him in the Roman city of Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is a city next to the Sea of Galilee. And because they had this huge body of water full of lots of fish, not surprisingly, a lot of folks in this town make their living out of fishing. It is here that we meet the first four disciples of Jesus. Simon, who will later be called Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James and John, the son of Zebedee. Not surprisingly, all four of these guys are fishermen. So Jesus uses an analogy to explain to them what it is he's asking them to do. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. Now, this idea of fishing for people, it's ingrained in our understanding of what evangelism is. It's deeply rooted in the fiber that strikes our imaginations when we try to imagine what it is to evangelize. But there's a key piece of information that we may be missing, which is causing us to misthink this whole evangelism thing. You see, these four were commercial fishermen. They were not catching fish with lines and hooks. They were using these huge nets that they would lower into the sea and catch large quantities of fish. Fish of every size, shape, color, and texture. And it would be this type of fishing that they would be thinking of when Jesus said, fish for people. Growing up as a young boy in Santa Barbara, California, I didn't get to spend a whole lot of time with my dad. My dad was a harbor patrolman. For those of you that don't know what that is, it's basically the primary law enforcement for the harbor. Because of this, he had to work on rotating shifts. This meant that sometimes he worked during the day, sometimes he'd work in the evenings, and sometimes he'd work late at night. For a six-year-old boy, it seemed that Dad was either always at work or always asleep and never had time to spend with me, doing the things that other boys' dads did with them. The one thing my dad and I did do together was watch the Billy Graham Crusades. This was a special treat for me. First off, it almost always came just before bedtime, which meant I got to stay up late. I would climb on Dad's bed, and it was perfect. Just me and Dad in the Billy Graham Crusades. I can't honestly tell you that I ever paid attention to anything that went on that TV. I couldn't tell you what they sang or what Billy preached about until the end of the program. That imagery, when Billy Graham made his world-famous altar call, and hundreds of people from every reach of the stadium would file down to the stage. Long lines of people coming down staircases that seemed like they would never end. And the multitude of people gathered around that stage to be saved, to claim Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, to rededicate themselves to God. That image has stuck with me to this day. Billy Graham had a way of casting this huge net that caught hundreds and hundreds of fish, fish of every size, shape, color, and texture. Something else my dad and I did do together was go on fishing trips. Now, this usually happened anytime one of my dad's buddies told him about this new fishing spot that he just had to try out. So we would go and select just the right rods and reels, pick out just the right bait or the right lures for the fish that we were going to go fish for. Maybe we'd load up the boat, and off we'd go. And whatever fish we were fishing for, if we caught fish, that was usually the fish we caught. But on occasion, we would catch a different fish. Maybe we'd catch a bass if we were fishing for trout. Or if we were fishing for bonito, we might catch a rockfish or a sea trout. Whatever we caught, we cleaned and brought home for supper. I wonder if growing up in Capernaum was anything like growing up in Santa Barbara. Some things had to be similar. Santa Barbara is a harbor town, and the harbor is dominated by these huge commercial fishing boats, which means that on a regular basis, they had open-air fish markets. They'd have these huge wooden troughs full of ice, and in the troughs would be every type of fish and seafood imaginable. My mom and I, on a regular basis, would go to the seafood market to shop. Mom would walk down that long line of wooden troughs, me in tow, examining the contents of each and every one until she found exactly what she was looking for. And when she picked out the best piece of fish or seafood, she would take it, buy it, and take it home for supper. 3 different childhood memories. 3 different metaphors or ways of looking at evangelism. We can cast a big net and catch many, many fish. Fish of every size, shape, color, and texture. Or we can hunt for very specific fish, pick out the right rod and reel, the right bait or lure, and go to just the right spot. Or we can simply go to the fish market, look at all the fish, find the best fish, and take it. How we get the fish is less important than what we do with the fish once we have them. This is important. Let me say this again. How we get the fish is less important than what we do with the fish once we have them. Whenever Mom would make supper, whether it was fish from the fish market or fish that we caught, she always prepared each fish differently, because she knew each fish had its own unique qualities and flavors, and it had to be prepared so that the best of those qualities and flavors would come out. Now, I realize I am in jeopardy of losing my Southern man card by saying this, but not all fish tastes its best battered and deep fried. I knew that was coming. So if we take this back into our metaphor of evangelism, now we have a problem. It seems like this notion that each and every fish is unique, each and every fish has to be prepared differently to bring out its best qualities, that seems to fly in the face of what St. Paul is telling us about being of the same mind, doing church the same, thinking of Jesus the same. How do we rectify this? As most of you know, I work at TVA, and I am very, very proud of that fact, which is why I take every opportunity to tell people where I work. I'm not only proud of TVA's special mission to serve the people of the Valley, but I am more proud of the way TVA treats its people. TVA doesn't just say that people are its most valuable resource. They treat their people like their most valuable resource. One of the foundational principles of our business operations is this idea of diversity with inclusion. Now, this is a hard concept to explain. It's more easy to show with concrete example, but basically it's this idea that every person at TVA has special gifts and understandings, and that those gifts and understandings should be applied across the operational agency. Let me give you a concrete example of how this works in practice. A few weeks ago, I was involved in a discussion about IT networks. Specifically, we were trying to figure out how do we maximize the reliability of the network while reducing the total cost of ownership. Now, this is a really challenging problem to solve because these two things are kind of mutually exclusive. You can have a cheap network or you can have a reliable network, but to have a cheap and reliable network, that's kind of hard. And there were all sorts of different representatives in this meeting. People from IT and people from business, including a steam fitter from one of our generation plants. Now, you would not think a steam fitter would have anything to contribute when it came to IT networks. But you'd be wrong. Their unique perspective brought us into conversation, thoughts, and ideas that we would have never come up with if they hadn't been at the table. Anytime Mom prepared seafood, she always prepared the dish uniquely to bring out the special qualities and flavors of that dish. But most of the time, Mom only had one particular type of fish or seafood to work with. What if she had a whole net of fish? Fish of every size, shape, color, and texture. She would have to come up with a way to blend all of those unique qualities and flavors into some sort of seafood medley, maybe a seafood boil. How we go about catching fish at St. Thaddeus is not the important question. What we do with the fish is much more important. If we could find a way to examine each and every fish, each and every St. Thaddeus fish, for its unique gifts and talents, and find a way to take all of those unique gifts and talents and blend them into a seafood medley, we would have a glorious feast. We would have a feast truly fit for a king. Amen. I invite you now to stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth,
of all the Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead.
On the third day he rose again.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
With all our hearts and with all our minds, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above, for the loving kindness of God, and for the salvation of our souls, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world, for the welfare of the Holy Church of God, and for the unity of all peoples, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our bishop and for all the clergy and people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, for the leaders of the nations, and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Chattanooga, Hickson, Lakeside, and beyond, for every city and community, and for those who live in them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the good earth that God has given us, and for the wisdom and will to conserve it, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the aged and infirm, for the widowed and orphans, for the sick and the suffering, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those we now name, Ava, Belinda, David, Henry, Harry and Terry, Bob, Eddie, and for those you now name. For the poor and the oppressed, for the unemployed and the destitute, for prisoners and captives, and for all who remember and care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the hope of resurrection, especially Jennifer, and for all the departed, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For deliverance from all danger, violence, oppression, and degradation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the absolution and remission of our sins and offenses, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may end our lives in faith and hope, without suffering and without reproach, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In the communion of thy Jude Thaddeus and of all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another in all of our life to Christ our God.
To thee, O Lord our God.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give you, my own peace I leave with you." Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give us the peace and unity of the heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Welcome, everybody. We are truly blessed to have all of you with us. Your 2023 vestry met last Wednesday, and it was a very long meeting because we had a lot of business to take care of. We did elect vestry officers. More to come on that front. And we reviewed and are very close to passing the 2023 budget. Now, that budget is going to be published for your viewing And I encourage each and every one of you to review that budget carefully. And if you have any questions or comments, reach out to one of your vestry members to talk to them about your concerns. We've done the budget a little differently this year, so the bottom line number is probably going to come as a shock, but it's the true number and not smoke and mirrors. So I encourage you to look at that. The other thing is I've been reminded by my beautiful wife that the sign-up sheet for the food pantry is a little absent of names. So if you can find it in your schedule and your heart, please sign up. What else did I miss? Oh, the officers that we've elected. Okay, so as you all know, our treasurer is Lloyd. I somehow got roped into being your new senior warden, so I am your senior warden. And Tom is going to be your junior warden. And Miss Kelly and Miss Dawn are going to be co-scribes for the vestry. So those are your officers. So we look forward to any input that you have. We haven't done anything yet. Yes, Deb.
The assignment for flowers is on the door, and we just have a couple of days before we get into a new season.
Let us pray. O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of your glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessings through our worship of you that in the week to come may be spent in your favor. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord God, Almighty and Everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to fulfillment of your purpose. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
All stand, please. And let us pray together. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us.
We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to life in your kingdom. Grant us the strength of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him, at all times and in all places, may give thanks to you in all things. Amen.
And the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.
By the way, you did forget one announcement. It's my fault, I didn't mind. If you have not gotten your year-end statements for your contributions, they are on the Monday table. Sorry.